This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time, Michael. First one on the docket today. CU's going back to Caden Salter. Buy or sell that. That's a legitimate move. That's a good move. Here's my stance on it, Mike. I'm buying that it's a good move. I'm selling that it was a move that was necessary even in the first place. They should have stayed with Caden Salter. Two games in a new system. I know it was bad against Delaware. It wasn't great. But you got to let that breathe for a second, man. So I'm buying that it's the right move. I was annoyed by it last week when you made the move overall, like to put Staub in there in the first place. Buy or sell, Mike. Good move, bad move.
If you think Salter can preserve victories better than Staub, then I say keep him.
Buy or sell. Now, I know what you did. I know what you did.
What are you talking about?
I know what you did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Buy or sell. The Utah Utes, Kyle Whittingham's Utah Utes, will be in the college football playoffs this year. Just on my mind, because we're talking to Cody, and he's like, dude, I wouldn't be surprised. Can they win the Big 12? So they'll be playoffing. So you're buying that. I'm buying it, too, and I like Kyle Whittingham. What's your take on Kyle Whittingham?
As a fan of the Pac-12 for many years, I admit that I initially did not welcome them. And then when I realized how good he was as a coach, how good they were, I'm like, okay, welcome!
I just like him. I should have had my old friend Paul Kirk on the show last week. I regret that. Paul was the, director of communication, assistant to the AD at Colorado State for several years. He's also worked for the Broncos for a while. And then now he's with Utah doing awesome things there. I should have had him on. I don't know if you can speak to this, Mike, so just keep your weird stuff to yourself as usual. Michael Malone is going to be one of the hosts of, on the panel for ESPN's NBA Countdown full-time this season. Buy or sell that means good things for the Denver Nuggets? Does that mean the Nuggets will get more positive coverage or more of the same? Ignoring, and when you do talk about them, it's kind of negative, at least from the four-lettered network.
Is he allowed to have his own opinions, or is there some kind of directive? It depends on if there's a directive.
There's always a directive from ESPN, and it's highlight the East and West Coast, gloss over the middle of the country, and you'll be fine. Occasionally screw up things like Barry Sanders jerseys and stuff like that. Make some political statements. And don't talk about teams that don't move the needle.
You know, here's a thought.
He's joining the enemy.
It's possible that maybe ESPN is hearing people complain about this. And maybe ESPN, this is a response.
No, because he was fired.
ESPN's response to
this. They're bringing on a fired guy. from the Nuggets. It's not like he retired and was like, oh, yeah, I love this place. I'm just not, coaching's not for me anymore. They fired him with 4 games left in the season.
But he knows about the middle of the country.
I mean, I hope that Malone, I like Michael Malone. I will forever be grateful as a Nuggets fan that Michael Malone was the head coach of this team for as long as he was. I don't know. We may never know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. But I don't know who was more wrong or right on the whole Calvin Booth, Michael Malone thing. But I am a fan of Malone. I liked his style. I liked the way he presented things. I got frustrated toward the last couple of years. Old frustrated Mike there was was tough. It was enraged timeouts. Those things were bothersome to me.
Hopefully you'll like his style on ESPN. Hopefully he can bring a diverse opinion to ESPN and they can stop being coast-centric.
Well, we'll see. You know, he did say that OKC didn't. He got knocked by Nuggets fans because he said on the broadcast during the Thunder, the pregame show between the Thunder and the Nuggets, that the Thunder had the best fan base in all of the NBA. Listen, guys, it's hard to argue. Dude, there's a difference between showing up to games and cheering for your team, and then and following the assignment. And for the Thunder, it's like, hey guys, we're wearing all white T-shirts. Here they are on your chair. They're free. Congrats. You made it to the game. Wear them. The Nuggets don't do that. The Lakers definitely don't do that. So I think the fact that the Thunder, dude, that's their thing. The Oklahoma City Thunder. When it comes to basketball in the NBA, like professional sports for Oklahoma, they got one. They got the Thunder. And their fan base shows out. So it's probably one of the best fan bases in all of the NBA.
Well, they show out because it's a place to be.
Yes, there's not a lot going on.
You're either in a stadium, in an arena, or in the middle of a field.
Or you're middle of the field chasing down Longhorn steers or whatever.
Right? And that's Oklahoma.
Covered wagons and stuff, which is fine. But when it comes to basketball, they seem to kind of like it. It is amazing, though. Like, it has really developed into a big fan base, you know, and obviously winning a championship. Got a lot of young guys. The Thunder are probably going to be a problem for a while. Go Poke says Oklahoma's just different, bro. Like really, really different. Like throw up different. I've been to Oklahoma a few times. I have nothing to say bad about Oklahoma. No issue there.
I have a problem with
you've never
football
been.
Teams.
You've never been to Oklahoma.
No, I haven't. So I can't comment about the state or the people itself, just the team, the Oklahoma itself, the University of Oklahoma. Just don't like them.
Mm-hmm. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Good for Michael Malone. I wish him well. I thought the Knicks were going to call him. Maybe there were conversations. His name wasn't popping up, though. Maybe the guy just needs to get away from coaching. Because, dude, he looked... Basketball coaches look stressed anyway. But Malone kind of, toward the end, he looked really stressed out. Even though they just won a championship. I never really thought in the Joker era we would be talking about Malone not being the head coach. I really didn't. But we all saw it, and there were a bunch of things that Malone did that I wasn't crazy about, and obviously Calvin Booth did. You didn't sync up. You got to sync up your GM and your head coach. You just have to have that relationship. And if you don't have it, you see exactly what happened with the Nuggets. So now we go forward. Like, you got to see, you know, kind of how this goes, or how this went anyway. When you bring in David Adelman, and I thought he handled it well given the circumstances. He gets the job. You bring in Ben Tenzer. You bring in John Wallace. And you got Tenzer and Wallace, the law firm of Tenzer and Wallace. This will be the first test. And, I mean, they killed it in the offseason. They crushed it. Calvin Booth clearly couldn't have done that. He wasn't doing anything like that. The Nuggets absolutely crushed the offseason. I'm getting excited for both, for the Nuggets and the Avalanche. But I'm so happy with football right now. It's hard for me to really start dialing in, but we will. We'll get there. Don't worry, Mike. We'll get there. The Nuggets start up the season on the preseason on October 4th, where they'll go up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then the regular season begins on October 23rd when the Nuggets go to Golden State for the first game of the season. 8 o'clock on what, Mike? On what?
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFK.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But given the theme of what we were just talking about, Michael Malone, ESPN, nothing?
No.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's going to be on our station.
It will be on our station. Yes, we will. Well, yeah, we'll see. We're for sure going to be an affiliate of the Denver Nuggets radio stuff and the Colorado Avalanche, as well as the Denver Broncos and the other one. They play tonight. The other one plays tonight. Do you think that would make Tanner mad if we just start calling them the other one? The fourth one?
I would be bothered by that too, but
the fourth one?
It's kind of true.
Yeah, they're the fourth one.
They are the fourth
There's
one.
There's the Broncos. And depending on how you, I honestly say it's like, depending on who you talk to, Avalanche, Nuggets, Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and then the fourth one.
I mean, as a sport, it's the fourth most popular, and they're the fourth of the four to come to Colorado, or at least to exist. However, they're the first to win a championship.
What? I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. What did you say? Sorry, I was trailing off, thinking about something else.
Are you joking?
No, I'm joking, yeah. No, I'm not joking. I seriously repeat what you said.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember what you said?
I do remember what I said. I said that they were the fourth to come to Colorado in case everybody was thinking about Joker being the Joker.
Yeah.
And not the Broncos having a Joker. But they were the first to win a championship. So they are the first and the last.
I still didn't get all that. Tanner said, you're the one tweeting about the Rockies in September, not me. Because I know that they're going to allow, if the over is 11.5, I've already got 10 from the other team. So you'd be an idiot not to get in on that noise, right? That's why. Listen, guys, it's been over for a long time. I feel bad for Tanner, though, really, because he's like a diehard guy, and they're pretty bad. Like, they're just pretty bad. Go Poke says, NBA basketball comes out of your pores when you sweat. Nuggets basketball. Overall, I always ask this question, Mike. You want a fun kind of poll question? And I already know your answer, because little Broncos. If you were stranded on a desert island and you for some reason had a TV that was plugged in, but you could only watch one sport and your local team is not involved, so it's all out
football.
Of it's all I know. It's all it's not for you. It's all out of market. But it could be college basketball, be college football, NFL football, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, soccer.
That's another sport.
That is a sport. Boxing, UFC, whatever. What would be that sport? I'm gonna put that on Twitter or whatever it is, X. I'm gonna put that out there. If you were stranded on a desert island and you had a TV for some reason, which sport would you choose to watch? But your team's not in it. Mine would be. Hmm. And it's all the same rules, too. So you're still watching the sports, just your team somehow just disappeared. But it's like the same stuff, like going to the playoffs, like all the structure of the playoffs is up there and all that.
So basically, it would be like
you just have one
hockey
channel.
Season with me because I didn't have the ability to watch the Avalanche.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I do now because I have Fubalabo TV.
Yep. So I want to know. I'm gonna put that out on X and see. But your local team isn't involved. So if you're a college football fan and you're a CSU fan, CSU's eliminated. Like, it's just like you went to the island and for some reason that just went away. So which one would you choose? That's tough for me. I'm definitely going to say a football one. I just don't know if I would say NFL or college. 20 years ago, 10 years ago probably, I'm saying NFL. But I've had more fun talking college football and it doesn't matter. And I don't have, like, it's weird to me, Mike. I don't have a team that I'm a diehard fan of. I grew up Broncos, NFL. That was my thing. And the Nuggets and the NBA. As I got older into high school and stuff, I started to become more of a college football fan. And then college basketball, too. I don't know. I'm guessing it would be college football. I'm guessing.
May I ask
yes.
further rules?
You may.
So is this just Saturday football? Is it just Sunday football?
No, you get,
and then the TV's
you get
off.
All of it. So every night that there's games on, you would get the channels available, but nothing else. Like, you can't go watch Everybody Loves Raymond. You can't leave. It's just, so like Monday night, if you choose college football, you don't get college football. You just have nothing. So you're just like making sandcastles. Also, football is a shorter season. Baseball would take you a while, would take you through things. You got to think about this. It's the only thing you get.
And baseball would help you sleep if you're an insomniac.
Yeah, I would not choose baseball.
If I couldn't sleep, I'd choose
playoff
baseball.
Baseball's fun, but that's short-lived, man.
You could choose golf because golf helps you sleep better.
Sorry, Derbs, but no. Faith says college football hands down. Big Hub says college football, a lot more options.
Yeah but the season is shorter.
It's true.
NFL, you have the longest season.
GoPoke says you'd cry without the Nuggets. That's what I'm saying. The Nuggets would not be involved. If I choose the NBA, I don't get to watch the Nuggets. And I don't know that I want to be in a world without Nikola Jokic, so I might as well watch something else that doesn't remind me of him.
Well, either way, you're in a world without Nikola Jokic.
Right. But I don't want to be reminded of what I've lost. Unless our memories are wiped and it's as if he never existed. Probably college football. Weird.
A short season, though. It's not as short as it used to be with all the irrelevant bowl games.
How do I phrase this? Because I don't want to say you can only watch one sport, because then people are going to say basketball or football. If you were stranded on an island and could only watch one brand of a sport, I don't know. How do I phrase that, Mike? If you were stranded on an island and could only watch one sport.
Pro or college.
One league. Yeah, there we go.
You can also choose Canadian football. No one will.
No
but
one
you
will.
Could also choose Canadian
Except for,
football.
What's his face? The guy that your man crush. Pool Boy. The Pool Boy
Deadpool?
Movies. Yeah, the Pool Boy.
Deadpool might choose to follow the Calgary Stampeders. But then there are like only eight teams in that league.
Big Hub says, so I can't watch any Georgia games or CSU games. No. Your favorite teams are eliminated from the conversation. So I would like to know. 24 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. I'll put that on X. Follow me at Whole Show. I put more stuff on X than I do anything else. So if you really want to stay connected to what we're doing all the time, follow me there. You follow me and I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
I will follow you.
We'll be right back.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling. Like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
You didn't come in with the song, Mike. That week three of doing this, and you've already failed it. It's Keeling me softly.
Bad.
No, it's okay. I'm not forgiven, but it's all right. We can move on. Sean, I was thinking about this, and you being a sports guy, Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post.
Among other things.
Normally our Keeling Me Softly segment, but junior varsity production team didn't get it done. So we'll move.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know it's harsh,
ooh,
but he deserves it. You'll meet him and you'll know.
Universally speaking, I am junior varsity.
All right, hey. Sean, you're stranded on an island, and yeah, you can only watch one sport, one league. But the team that you like the most is not involved. Where are you going?
Has my team been disbanded?
It's like Men in Black. They're gone. They're just gone from the world. And so if you choose the NBA, that team that you love is gone. But you're just watching, basically, in your mind, out-of-market stuff.
Oh, well, then it wouldn't be – I'm going to say baseball again. Because it's not that much different from how I watch the White Sox. They're basically dead to me anyway.
They basically already dissolved.
I get out of market games on the T-Mobile deal with my phone carrier. So yeah. That's not a sexy
good
answer, but
you knew
you'd ask me. You're gonna get like, well, it's Keeler. It's gonna be soccer. It's gonna be baseball. Or it's going to be MMA and, like, specifically European MMA, like PFL Europe. Or it's going to be rallycross. Actually, you know what? If it wouldn't be baseball, it would be rallycross. But I don't really have a team there, so who knows?
Well, and also, this is a thinker. There's more to this question. It's layered because you're on an island. You only get to watch, and I probably didn't phrase this right, but it's only sports. So you don't get to watch, like, Scrubs or Everybody Loves Raymond.
I don't have, like, comedy or...
Right.
Or personal entertainment.
Just the sport.
Okay.
So it might be a good idea to pick a baseball type of thing. So
you've
got longer.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay.
Sure.
I just wanted to throw that out.
Great. After you got done throwing your producer under not just one bus, but several buses,
you
explained it great.
Yes,
good
thank
job.
Thank you. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I don't like hate the Caden Salter thing, like going back. I don't like going back to him. I would have rather just stay with him for more than like 4 seconds into his Colorado career.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I think that's the good and the bad about Caden Salter. It's like the most okay decision ever. You kind of look at it and go, yeah, okay. Relative to everything else you could do, because there's a lot of, hey, throw Juju out this week. And to be fair, and I was up in Boulder yesterday, and, you know, I still hover in the corners there silently. I loom. If there was one week you could still screw around and treat this like the preseason, which is totally bonkers, by the way, but since that's their mentality, everything is NFL mentality, this is the last week you could really do that. I mean, no offense to Wyoming, and please, no, if you're a Wyoming fan, be offended. This is the last... This is the last on paper team that's below CU's weight class a little bit, right? Right. You can't screw around from here on out. Whatever decisions you make that aren't forced by injuries or personnel or something else, this is your last chance to experiment. So, sure, I mean, you also need to win. So some people are like, yeah, try out Juju. If there's ever a week to try out Juju, which is a very first world arrogant response is what you say when Wyoming's coming to visit. So yes, again, Cowboys fans get mad. This is the game the bus were going. We're going to try out our 17-year-old quarterback and see what happens. You also can't lose. Like the only, and I don't think they will. Like the only Armageddon scenario would be if the bus would lose this game. And I don't think that they will. I'll say that again. And I think it's a chance to get right. And I think it's also, though, important that you get right with an idea of what the next 9 weeks are going to be like, because you need to start pushing this train forward again, and it's starting to slide backwards. So, yeah, start. So here's what I like, and I wrote it in Sunday's paper, Saturday Online, from down in Houston, and this is going to sound wacky and we giggle, but there is a foundation of logic to this. I said, here's what you do. You start Salter, and you do what you were doing those first two games, and you're okay. And then what you do in the last 2.5, 3 minutes of every half is you put a slob in and then up-tempo it just for those. You see what I mean? You use him like a relief pitcher, and everybody knows, and then suddenly you'll score 30 points a game. That's the best I can come up with, because it's the only thing that's really worked. Like, it's just because if you start a game with Staub, he's like, wah-wah. You know, it's like a relief pitcher. He's not an opener. He can't start. Okay, well, we're better off starting with Salter and kind of running screens and the occasional quarterback bootleg and fine. And then suddenly we need to do hurry up. We'll play him in for a series, like at the end. Great, because he's great running the hurry up. Like, that seems to be the one thing he does really well. So that's the bet. Not that they would ever, with a gajillion dollars, let me into that room to make that decision. But if Deion Sanders asked me that, which he never will, that would be my answer, is do that.
Get a fourth quarterback, and they could, like, change how college football is done. And you basically, like, it's a new position. Oh, you just made the team as first Q quarterback and then second Q quarterback. And, oh, I made it as the closer, Ma. I made it. I'm fourth quarter quarterback. Even if first Q quarterback throws for 5 touchdowns, you got to go to your fourth, because you don't want to wear them out. You know, you got them on a pitch count.
Here's another one. Put a backfield with Staub and Salter together and make them have to guess who's going to get the snap.
Yeah. Like, that's, or put all three of them back there.
Right. That was like T formation back in the day. That was the, you know who's going to throw the ball? Halfback might throw the ball. You know, it was only later that a quarterback really had to throw the ball. You know, put multiple guys, you know, and then suddenly you're you know, you motion out Salter somewhere, and Staub could catch a ball, maybe, possibly, maybe. You get creative. When you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. And at QB, they've got a lot of, not nothing, but a whole lot of not somethings.
Sean, Coach Prime, last week, someone asked about, you know, what, I don't remember the exact question, but it was like, you know, how uncomfortable are you not having a solidified quarterback? And then he's like, what does that mean? And then this week it's, you know, what's your identity? And he's like, what does that mean? 3 weeks ago, it's, when am I supposed to use the timeouts? Is that all a shtick, or I'm starting to be like, dude, what does he know? Because he's like, he doesn't know what solidified means. He doesn't know what you know, what identity means. And he says Ohio State. What was their identity? And I think one of the reporters was like, run the ball. It's like, yeah, two guys does not make an identity. First off, two running backs ran for over 2,000 yards. You know, spread out. Last year, I would say that the CU's identity was kind of based around two guys.
So, they had an identity. It was Shadur to Travis.
Right.
Or Shadur to Shepard or Shadur to LaJonte. Yeah, they were throw and go. And they don't have that. I mean, I wrote about it today at DenverPost.com, like, why the one big obvious flaw in the Prime method is you just can't replace 80-90% of your offensive line every year. You can. I mean, no one's saying you can't. Legally, you can, but you can't and expect to then be like Ohio State or like, we're going to run the ball. It'll be like Utah. Here we go. Like, it's just really hard to do, and they clearly are. Well, they are better. They are not doing it. And where we notice that they're not doing it is because they don't have that kind of all-world NFL passing game to fall back on. I was rip on the O-line a little bit, though it hasn't been bad. It's been better, but what it is it's just not better enough when you don't have a premier passing game to go with it. In fact, you have a bad passing game. So what, the Buffs have gone from a NFL-level superior top five passing game, bottom five run game, to a, I think they're 105th, to a bottom 20% run game and a bottom 30% pass game. So the good news is, you're balanced.
True. There it is.
You're kind of mediocre at both.
There's the identity.
Pat Shermer, you found your identity. We're mediocre at everything. But we're up from bad at running the ball, because they are. They're averaging, I think they have twice as many yards per game on the ground from this time a year ago. And they have about 15 to 30% more attempts. So that's better. But their pass game is down like 80%. So you could, like, to your point, you just don't have one. Now your identity, the Buffs' fundamental problem is, and this isn't a problem. Let me just say the problem is their offensive identity is whatever Pat Shurmur wakes up with that day. That's fundamentally a problem. But their identity is Deion Sanders. It's him and the hat and the shades and the tent on the sidelines and whatever else. It's him. And I kind of joke, that's kind of why Ralphie retired and kind of quit in protest. Is she just, look, the minute you ran Lil Wayne out there instead of her, she was done.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%.
Noticed, I mean, it just has not been the same. These are not stupid animals. We joke that he's replaced, you know, Ralphie is kind of the icon of the university, and he has. But when you do that, and this brings it back to the Shurmur thing, and you are so good at the PR and the branding and the things that you do well, and the recruiting and the sales and the glitz and the glamour, and they are. They're very good at that. Deion Sanders is excellent at that. As we said, Deion Sanders can sell anything to anybody. Like, he's that good at that. But to do this, then to run a football program, you are terribly reliant on the X's and O's and on game day on your assistants. Like, hugely. Which every coach is. That's how the organizational tree is set up. But he really, really is. And now, we always said this is going to be the season we're going to see what it's going to look like without that star-studded senior group and those NFL players. We're seeing kind of what it's like with those coordinators who don't have NFL-level players and what they could do with it so far. And it's too early to ring a lot of panic. We want to panic. It's Houston. You lost to a basketball school, you know, by 2 touchdowns or more. Yeah, I mean, Houston's all right.
I think they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right. I think, but what it is it just you're not in the upper pecking order when you lose a game like that. And Georgia Tech is clearly more than all right, and you were able to hang with you got like 5 turnovers right away, but we got 7 points out of it. But you're able to make that competitive, and you had things to build off there. So I don't think they're bad. It's just apparent to everybody that they're not good, and that maybe the wonder children assistants that we thought had solved everything a year ago aren't quite the gene, you know, that Turner isn't, that we made them out to be, and that when you take away as much talent as they lost, as you would with any team that loses that many draft picks, regardless of where they're drafted, there's going to be a fall off. And I think that there's a little bit of cold reality setting in for everybody, including the coaching staff, and I would think Deion too. And how do you handle, to your point about why does he always ask the wrong questions back at people? None of us handle adversity great. And I think that's kind of obviously, having been on the other side of that in a very public way, that's his default defense mechanism. And that's not a great sign, though, either, even though it's been fairly pleasant, what I've seen relative to what I went through.
Yeah, sure.
A year ago. Yeah. I mean, he's a little tamer, but it's also his defense mechanism. But that's not a good sign of I feel good. It's not a sign of comfort, right? I think it's a sign of some concern. And I think it's understandable. And there's a lot of layers to this. And he'll probably never say out loud how many of those layers have been impacted by his health as well. And that's the elephant that's in the room, too, because a lot of this, I got to thinking of this last week, a lot of this, we're going to spend September figuring out who we are. I wonder how much of that is because they couldn't spend May, June, and July figuring out who they were collectively as a group, which you can only do so much, obviously, by rule, but it was a different deal this spring that way. I wonder how much of that catch up. And that's not an unfair football assumption. And I don't know if you want to call it that. If you're playing catch up, we obviously know there's a reason in 2025 why a coach prime team would have to play some catch up with personnel and getting comfortable with where they are. And that had nothing to do with football, and it had nothing to do with anything that was intentional. It was just an unfortunate roll of the dice with somebody's health. But they do look like a team that's trying to play catch up. And after this week, you're going to run out of time. And maybe ultimately they do make up that ground, but you're running out of weeks to do it.
Sean, great stuff from you as always. Enjoyed the story. All things Buffs too. I checked that out, and then the Evan Ingram. We're up against the break. I got about 20 seconds here, but Sean, appreciate it. I know it was awesome. You're awesome as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week, my man.
All right, talk soon. Thank
all right, man.
You.
Sounds good. Michael, 44 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, unfortunately, that stuff with Keeler was so great. And then the Stranded Island question was amazing. Michael forced us to blow the clock. Yet again.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's my fault.
Now,
universally speaking,
what do we learn? Coming up next.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore, Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this 17th day of September? Well, we learned a few things. John Michael Gillenborg, probably going to give it a go. And he should, if he really can. Because it's going to be on ESPN against the Buffs. It's a big spotlight on you. We learned that it just seems like the Buffs don't have an identity. And Coach Prime doesn't really want to talk about that. Is he being fun? Funny? Or does he not know? What is the identity? Mike, what'd you learn?
I learned that we're going to have two jokers in the state of Colorado. One for the Broncos and one known as The Joker.
Maybe have more than four catches for 44 yards before we can start even having fun with this. Maybe think about that.
Joker think about. And The Joker.
Just think about it. He's a Joker position.
Yeah, he'll be Joker.
No, he'll be Evan Ingram. That's it.
Evan Ingram. Joker.
No. Not the same. Not the same, Mike.
Joker.
Thursday night special. 2-0. That's coming up tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.